320340.
Okay, Intrepid copies 1400515, 1420340.
Lead back correct, Intrepid.
And, Houston Intrepid standing by to copy the P-22 act time and the two octal numbers, and we're also ready to debrief with you. Standing by for your question.
Okay, Intrepid, we are not planning to do that P-22. The job's been done already, so we can forget the P-22 coming up at 140+00.
Okay.
And Intrepid, we have your consumables tag when you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy.
Consumables at GET of 13700. RCS A, 80%. B, 76. O2. And we'll give you first the descent and the ascent. 4796. H2O. 39.5. 99.2. Amp hours, 729.7, 572.3.
Roger, copied all that.
Okay, Intrepid, and on your question on the tape recorder. We show that under the way we'd normally figure it, that by extending those two EVAs, we come up with 10 and a half hours, whereas the tape recorder normally goes 10. However, those assumptions are, first, 100% activity in the descent, ascent, and the rendezvous, and 30% activity on the EVA. The 100% figure is most likely high, and the 30% figure is most likely low. So, it's pretty difficult for us to come up and tell you exactly when you're going to be cutting off in the ascent, or if you will at all.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and run it per the schedule.
Roger. Okay, Intrepid, then our first comment on the EVA. The Gold Flight team members back here would like to give you their congratulations for a job well done.
Thank you.
And Intrepid, we have a few questions. First one of which is on the weigh bags and their cracking. Could you briefly describe the problem that you encountered in cracking and what the reason may be for it?
Well, they seemed to, when I folded the first big one, let me think a minute. Oh, I know, the contingency sample, one I believe has some holes in it, doesn't it, Al? I can't remember on that, but anyhow, the first big one wound up just about an inch and a half long crack appeared in it when I was folding it, just like a fatigue failure. And that appears to be pretty much what happens. I noticed a couple of the saddlebags were the same way after we got done rattling around with them. They had some 1 or 2 inch long cracks, which made holes in them.
Okay.
Roger, we copy that. Was can you relate it to a given thermal situation? In other words, were they all cold at the time, or really couldn't you say that?
Well, I really couldn't say. I think y'all realize from the angle that we're at that the Mesa was in the sun. Did y'all know that?
Okay, no, we didn't know that. At least I wasn't aware of that one.
Okay. He's not completely in the sun, but it's almost in the sun. When I say almost, you know, there's some gear struts throwing some shadows and everything, but that area was in sunlight.
Roger, Pete. Yankee Clipper, 1 minute to LOS. See you on the other side. Question two, Intrepid. Could you discuss the failure of the camera handler? The camera handle.
Yes, sir. The knurled knob came off the shaft that it was mounted to, therefore allowing all the pieces to fall apart.
Roger. And how did the hammer fail? Did it fail in some way other than just the chips of the coating coming off?
No, that's all. Just the coating was coming off.
Roger. Okay, what problem did you have with the S-band in terms of the cable? And also, exactly where did you put it?
Well, I didn't... Just the fact that I wasn't looking where I was going, I get tangled up in the S-band antenna wire every once in a while. That one's not as bad as the... TV though, because the TV one doesn't lay flat. The S-band one lays flat. We put the S-band out just like we agreed to do it, to minimize running over the wire, which was out the plus Y direction pretty much.
Roger. And Pete, when you went back to check the CCIG, could you tell us how close you got to it?
I walked up to within about 5 feet of it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, any question on the third film pack which we used? How much of that was used on the inside, and where in the traverse did you pick it up and change it to one of the existing cameras?
Well, I got some bad news for you and some good news. The first place, the third magazine was a color magazine, and all it had on it were some shots that were taken of Earthrise and a few things like that coming around on descent. And unfortunately, Al and I got our signals crossed, and it's outside on the lunar surface right now. Now, what we did was take the black and white magazine off of Al's camera when it failed and put it on my camera and used it up so that we have two complete black and white of the second EVA and two complete colors of the first EVA. And the only thing that's missing is the color magazine that had undocking and a couple other mundane things like that on it that at the beginning of the LEM operation, and unfortunately that's out there in a saddlebag. We didn't catch that one.
Okay. You did get the surveyor, though.
Oh, yeah, we have all the surveyor pictures and everything, but they're all black and white.
Real good. And lastly, we've been looking at your power consumption profile and noticed that you're not using as much as they initially anticipated. They attribute that to the lack of use of the floodlights. Would you confirm that you've not had the floodlights on since the beginning of the first EVA?
That's right, we haven't had the floodlights on. Also, we've used the LCG pump very, very little. Every once in a while, we give ourselves a squirt. The spacecraft, in contrast to Neil's, we've been very warm, and we've been comfortably warm with just air in our suits. And I'd say the temperature inside here right now is running in the low 70s somewhere, and it's been that way ever since we got here.
Roger, Pete. Okay, that's the last of our questions. We can finish this up if you give us the two PRD readings.
Okay, wait, what? Al is 04022, and I'm still 11020. They kind of give you the idea mine may have quit running.
Okay, Pete, we copy 04022, and say the second.
11020, and I think that's what it was the last time I gave it to you.
That's correct, Pete. A question on the...
Maybe it quit running.
Could be. A question on the equipment jettison. Was there anything other than what's already called out for that was jettisoned or not jettisoned?
We jettisoned everything according to the checklist.
Roger. Hey, Pete, how's the inside of the cabin look about now?
It's very neat and orderly, except for the fact that it's very dirty.
Kind of a neat and orderly coal mine.
And that's about the size of it. The only thing that we do have, of course, is the LIOH canister container, which now has a TV camera in it.
Roger.
The EVA antenna is down and stowed.
Roger, and we also understood from Al out there on the surface that that only partially deployed, only got up around 60 degrees.
Okay, when I was the one to put it up, and when I put it back down, I discovered that I had turned it to last about 20%, and so it went all the way up, and then I stowed it, so it functioned correctly with me. I didn't put it all the way up.
Roger, Pete, the comm was beautiful. Well, we had probably the best of any sim we've had.
Well, I concur. The comm really has been super. These plisses and suits perform magnificently. Man, these suits are in shambles, though.
Now, when you climbed back in, you terminated at 3 plus 55, and both of you were, your reserve was determined by oxygen, and plus one, the reserve was 2 plus 0.5, which we're giving you a 6 hour plus. And the plus two was 1 plus 5.0, which is pretty close to 6 hours also.
Well, that's very good to know, and there's no reason why you can't stay out there and work that long. You don't get tired.
Get a little thirsty, though, I bet.
We were really thirsty after the second EVA because I don't know just yet up how far we went. I think we made a pretty good trip out there.
We're estimating something over a mile for the full circuit. That's not counting some of the side jots you made.
We've been trying to follow our tracks out here with the monocular. The other thing that I got your map book there. Let me talk to you about this big blocky rim crater that's out here.
Yeah, stand by on that, though. Okay, we got the map.
Okay, it's the on the great big map, it's the crater, the one that's got the really big blocks on it, that's just outside the ellipse on map A.
Okay, Pete, which is the great big map?
One is, okay, the one that shows the landing ellipse. It's number 39. Wait a minute, let me look just a second. It's number 30 chart. Now that crater is on our horizon, and we can see it from here. And I can sit here with the map and pick out the really great big boulders and everything. And one of the problems up here is there's nothing to break up, or there's nothing between you and any object that you happen to pick up out there, like a rock, to judge distance on. And when we first landed, I really thought that crater was like 1,000 feet away, but it's obviously a whale of a lot further than that away. But it looks like it's right next to us. And we can use a binocular and scan those gigantic boulders that are there. That's the only one that's visible to us on the horizon. But I wanted to point out, you can get an idea the fact that really looks like it's about 1,000 feet away from us, and you know how far away it is from us, and how difficult it is to judge distance.
Roger, Pete. Maybe the use of that limb shadow then is pretty useful. I know in the beginning you doubted that the shadow was really that long, and apparently it was telling you the truth.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. The other thing is from the spacecraft here, looking at the ALSAP, it looks like it's right under the window. And Al and I, best guess is that it's at least 450 feet away now.
Roger.